The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, Father of mercies, we humbly bow in thy presence to confess our sins and to ask thy forgiveness. With humility, we acknowledge our frailty and to ask for a measure of thy strength. O Holy Spirit, for all sorts and conditions of men, we pray. Give courage to the faltering, strength of a good resolve to those who are sorely tempted, comfort to those who mourn, and healing to those who are sick or afflicted. Banish fear where it is crippling the human spirit. Root out selfishness and greed where it blights the heart, and reestablish a sense of honor and integrity where fraud and dishonesty have taken their place. We would mention by name in our prayers our friend and fellow worker, Miss Lansdell, and offer up our prayer for her and her family in their time of grief. We would call to mind, too, the important conferences at Camp David and in Geneva, where world issues are debated, and we would ask that thy purposes may be evident in the deliberations. Bless, we pray, all men of goodwill, and teach us all to call first on thee. O Christ, do thou teach us to pray with understanding and sincerity the prayer which thou didst teach thy first disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We are very privileged to have on our campus Dr. William J. Fallis, who is certainly no stranger to us. Dr. Fallis has visited us on several occasions and has spoken in this chapel. I need only to remind you that he is the editor of the Broadman Press, and to present him to you and to tell him that we will listen to him prayerfully and gratefully. Dr. Fallis.
For our scripture lesson this morning, I read from Genesis, Isaiah, and two Psalms. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Some years ago, when my 6-foot, 15-year son was then only a small boy, and we lived in another house, we enjoyed watching a family of robins get its start in the crotch of a tree just 8 feet away from the breakfast room window. First, there was the two robins building the nest in the tree. Then when it was all done, one breakfast morning, we noticed that one robin had settled down comfortably. And Richard enjoyed this drama as much as we. The days went by, and the robins would take turn staying on the nest and going to get food. And then how much we enjoyed the first day when we noticed that there was some movement in the nest. And the boy enjoyed it too. Because here was a drama of God taking place. And we watched both birds feed three hungry, gaping mouths. All this reminded us of a book that had come to mean a great deal to the three of us in family reading. It was called Secrets, written by Jesse Orton Jones and illustrated by her sister. They had already made a name for themselves with another book entitled Small Rain. The fifth poem in Secrets goes like this. Sometimes I hear God's whisper in the night. The birds do too, because they answer him in small bird voices. I think he's telling them just what to do. I think he tells them how to build their nests and make them safe for eggs. He tells them how to feed the baby birds. He tells them when to fly away from cold and where to find a warmer place to live. So many things for birds to know. So many things to do. To be sure, Jesse Orton Jones has told her story in the idiom of the child, through the eyes and experience of the child. But she has put her finger on one of God's secrets. There are many of them in our world, so many that we take for granted, overlook, walk by, ignore. Let me point to four. There is, first of all, the secret of the star. I'm just getting introduced to Harry Golden's Only in America. And the very first article in this very interesting and engaging book is entitled, Why I Do Not Bawl Out the Waitress. And he begins by saying, I never do bother to fuss about what happens in a restaurant, because there are 1,000 galaxies in the Milky Way, and the smallest sun in these galaxies is 1,000 times larger than our own sun. And then he goes on to spin a long paragraph of all of the mysteries of the heavens and says, it's amazing that these things can whirl in their orbits without ever having any collision. It's because there's so much space there. Why, he said, if we could reduce the size of the planets to a speck and reduce the space proportionately, that the largest sun of the largest galaxy might be only a speck, but from the nearest it would be separated 2, 3, 4,000 miles. And when you think about all this, Harry Golden says, what's the use in arguing with the waitress about whether you got string beans or Linus? Last year, about this time, the issues of Life magazine and the National Geographic were carrying pictures, the first in color, of the heavens taken with the 200-inch telescope on Mount Palomar. And one of them, I recall especially, was a double-page spread of the Veil Nebula of the Swan Constellation. Fragments of an exploded star traveling 270,000 miles an hour from an explosion which took place 50,000 years ago. And yet, railroad men and airlines keep their schedules by the stars. For in all of this vastness, there is order. This is the secret of the star. But there's also the secret of the seed, as Jesse Orton Jones told us in another little poem. The warm sun is shining on our garden. That's where I planted seeds not long ago. Such little wrinkled things they were as I held them in my hand. Now they've grown into vegetables. Many shapes, many colors, many tastes. How could each seed grow into the right vegetable and nothing else? The red radish, the white onion, the yellow carrot, all down there together in the same black earth. How could they know just how to be themselves? God must have whispered to them in the ground and told each one the secret of itself. The concepts of the child may seem quaint and naive, and the brighter we get in our understanding of physical nature, the more quaint and naive they might grow. And yet there is an essence of truth that even the scientist here cannot afford to ignore. It is the wisdom of God that charts the wondrous course of stars in the heavens, but it also is the wisdom of God that charts the course of growth and flowering and pollination and fruitage. Yet in all of the similarities of nature, 100 oaks on a hill, there will not be 2 leaves identical. In all of the 38 inches of snow that Nashville had this year, more than in a generation, enough to get tired of, there were no 2 crystals shaped identical. The secret of the seed is God's variety. But however grand the heavens with rising sun and wheeling planets and placid moon, however amazing the many-rooted banyan tree, the gorgeous bird of paradise, or the majestic sequoia, nothing can match the creation of man, a weakling in God's complex, and yet a marvel. And Jesse Orton Jones again points us to the secret of the child. We have tulips in our flower bed. This spring they looked so pretty, pink and white. Now they've gone to sleep in small brown bulbs. Next spring they'll bloom again, still pink and white. All winter, God remembers who they are and never gets them mixed with other things. I'm sure he'll always know that I am me. The child is aware of himself because God made him a personality, a living soul. And this is more significant and important than all the things of size or beauty or orderliness or age. For as Jesus reminded us, the very hairs of your head are numbered. This child, any child, can have fellowship with his Maker. And the secret of the child is his companionship with God. There's yet another. The greatest secret of all. It's the secret of the cross. Because here is the secret through which man might come to know not only his God as his Father, but might come to know all men as brothers. Might be able through this way to bridge any chasm of misunderstanding, resentment, and hatred. Might be able to o'ertop any boundaries and limitations of race or color or nationality. Jesus hinted at it when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself." And the all is so much broader than our wildest imagination can conceive. So much more generous than we in our most generous moments can imagine. And Paul underscored the significance of the secret of the cross when he said, "We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Here are four secrets, God's secrets. Before them we stand amazed, and in their presence we are blessed. Because God is about us and in us and working through us by the secret of the cross and his Son. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of all men who call on thee in faith in him, we thank thee for this moment of Christian fellowship. We thank thee for thy word and for the experience of others who have plumbed new depths for us and pointed out new understandings and insights. So make us aware this day of the wonder of the world about us and the wonder of ourselves, that we will deal gently with all things and all men, and grant unto us a new and fresh thanksgiving for the secret of the cross that works in us to bring us into thy family today and forever through Jesus Christ our Lord.